So I think we're ready to start. You ready, team? So let's pray, and then we're going to have the team come up, and then we'll kind of, they can introduce themselves. And then Eliana and Kenzie worked really hard the last couple of days trying to get the pictures, because we got in at three. They worked hard. So Eliana's going to kind of walk us through today. But every kid's got something they want to share. So let's pray. Lord, thanks for your working in our hearts, and Lord, drawing us to you. That's what we want. That's why we're here today. We want to be closer to you, Jesus. And I pray that supernaturally, as each one of these young people share, that all of us could enter in, because they got a story to tell, like we all do. And Lord, we want you to be blessed by this time. We want to exalt Jesus, and we want to be so appreciative of all you did in us and through us, Lord. So walk us through this time, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if the team could come on up, then we'll say, we're going to use the microphone, so bear with us today. That way you can hear. And so this is all of us. Yeah, let's introduce. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So can we just, hey, how about we get in alphabetical order by the third initial of our middle name? Okay, everybody, 1, 2, 3, do it. All right, never mind. Go ahead. No, I'm just go. My now, they're like so tired of my stupidness that they're like, they're like my kids. They don't listen anymore. All right,
let's go. Amelia.
And let me say this. I'll get off on my, and Javier, who you'll see, Javier's hard to believe. Javier's worse than me. Okay, in our group. So we get together. We're like, we set the world on fire. We're like illegal in 4 countries together. So we go off on our randomness, and we go off for like, Amelia will always be the one that's like, okay, where were we? You know, like pulling us back. Always Amelia saying, and then she just, and I look at Amelia and says, you're tired of that. Yeah, let's go. You know, so all right, go ahead, Amelia.
I'm Amelia.
I'm Eliana.
I'm Manny.
I'm Allie Farmer. I'm gonna do last names, guys.
Kenzie.
Eli.
Austin.
Anya Stover.
She had to go with Slaughter because her passport was Slaughter, so she's back to being Stover again. Yeah.
I'm Autumn.
I'm Clay.
Okay, good. So they're going to do one of their dramas right now. It's called In Between. Is somebody going to tell us a little bit about what it, I don't think any of I am? Austin is. Okay, good.
Okay. All right, this is our little fun skit. Manny represents man. The people in the black represent the bad influences in our life, and the people in the white represent the good influences in our life. Something to remember at the end, all the black people fall down. All the people in the black shirts.
Why did you just stop? Come on, dude.
Are we able to video this? You got it. All right, here we go. They hate the end part where they just have to run around and they feel like a bunch of doofs, you know? I think I like the song is part of why I like the... Eliana, it's your show from here, so if you can walk us through. We have some slides. We have a video or two, right? Couple. Oh.
Show. We have a slideshow. We made it, and so like hopefully all the pictures. No, like come up, but like down, up.
It'd be Eliana. It would be better if they just sat down, and then each one came up as they were ready to share. Yeah. That way they can see the pictures. That way they can hear. They'll come up when you ask them to come up. Okay.
That'd That's cool. Better, I feel more in charge now. It's okay. So, like, the saying of the trip was keep the fire alive. It started out, I don't know how many of you guys know, but Javier Diaz, or however you say his name.
Diaz,
this super cool Mexican dude who surfs and is awesome. And he lives in Mexico, and he's a pastor there. And so he used to own a surf shop, and it was, like, called one way. And so I had a one-way shirt that was a hand-me-down. And so then it started out. Oh, yeah, I'm wearing it in the picture. And it started out, and he looked at it, and he was like, keep the fire alive. And so that was what we kept saying the whole trip. So that's what our trip is called. And so here's the picture in a random room at the YWAM base that we took. So, yeah. Next. So first on Friday, we went and visited the YWAM ship. It's called the Amazing Grace. And so we went with Dory and Akaika Hobbs and their family and got to visit the ship and take a tour. And it was just really awesome to see. And
okay, so just on this side of this boat is a $24 million boat.
Yeah.
So we walked by the $24 million boat to get the Amazing Grace. It was like... And then afterward, the guy at the ship dock said that guy's been on that boat 3 times in 3 years. $24 million. So it was like, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Oh, we can get off that slide because there's Javier on the next to the guy in the yellow shirt. So, okay.
Next. So Eli, come up. On Saturday, Eli.
The first was the feeding of the children.
So first we went to the feeding center. It's a rehabilitation.
There's a guy by the name of Omar. He was in prison there, and Eli's going to share part of his testimony. He became saved in the prison, became the pastor of the prison. I met him there a number of times. He's since come out and now has a rehabilitation center in the outskirts of Mazatlan for men mostly, but then out of that he does feeding the children. They go out and share food with the homeless. They got a lot of different ministries. So on this day, which had been Saturday, every Saturday morning they serve breakfast to the children. He said during the summer school time, it's about 150 kids. How many would you say were with us? 30 or 40 maybe, something like that. So Amelia wants to share something about what happened when we were with the children.
So with the children, there's a table with all the plates of food on them. And so each plate had like a few little crackers and a piece of fruit and then like some rolled up burritos. Yeah, burrito. And so there was a pot of like this thin soup sauce kind of thing. And you're supposed to get a little plastic cup of the sauce. And once you handed a plate to a kid, pour the sauce over the burrito part. There was also a table with the same little cups filled with like grape juice or something. It was purple. And I grabbed the wrong cup. So I go to give this kid his plate. And there's one picture and I was handing it to him and he looks like totally fine. He's like, yes. And the next picture
you see the one on the left? To see the see the picture of the boy? Look at him. He's like, you just ruined my breakfast.
His burrito was purple. So yeah. I went and got the right sauce and poured it on top and he was fine. But it was a running joke that Javier made that all the people that I met would need therapy. So yeah.
Good, Amelia.
Thanks, Amelia. Now, Eli. Sorry.
That's okay, Eliana. We're here for you.
Thanks. I'm a big deal.
Yeah? Well, let's not get carried away. Okay, you'll hear that. Here's why. I asked, we were at the YWAM base, and I said, you know, I'm either going to kill some of these kids if I'm not away from them a little bit. So they put me in the instructor's area. So I had a kitchenette. I had a couch. I had a... Well, the jacuzzi looks a lot like a toilet, and that's what Javier said. And so then I kept that from the kids for like 3 or 4 days because I didn't want them to know that I was set up in the sweet suite, and they were like living in the bunk. Well, at one point we needed to come, and they come in and like, whoa! And I said, well, after all, I am a big deal. And so from that started, so you'll hear it throughout the day, I'm a big deal. So that's where that comes. All right, Eli. This is never going. You got time after? Like, we're going to go to, like, 3. All right, Eli.
Okay. So Omar was, like, the leader of that, and he was the leader of the Men's Rehabilitation Center. And
hey, Eli, point to Omar in the slide with Austin with his arm around him, or even down below if you wanted to. Yeah, there.
Omar.
And so he, like, in his late teens, he joined a drug cartel, and he killed 48 people, I think. And, yeah, and he worked for the mafia.
Remember what his nickname was?
Oh, yeah, the devil.
Yeah, Diablo. The devil.
And then he went to prison for murder, and he was there for 8 years, and I think after all these people, like the, what do you call it? Like, do you like?
Tell me what you're talking about.
Okay, so the people that like came.
Yeah, just visitors would come in and like a church group or whatever like that.
Yeah, like a church would come in and for like 4 or 5 years they'd come in and he would always like cuss them out and just ignore them. And then one time they just left like a paper or like a book almost, and he read that and then he accepted Christ and he got saved, and then he. Wait, did he do something with the church?
Well, at that point, then he started going to church, and then he became a leader in the church, and then he became the pastor of the church, and God was raising him up, partly because his testimony was so powerful that everybody in the prison was afraid of him. I mean, he murders people, and so he had a reputation of this is evil personified, and then he gets radically saved, and it starts this weird kind of movement within the prison of if he can get saved, anybody can get saved, and God raises him up as a powerful man of God in this prison.
And another part was the next day he got hired for 150 million pesos to kill someone in the church, and he didn't do it because he got saved. And that's kind of crazy.
That's good, Eli. That's
and
good.
Another extra thing, he showed us he had probably like 8 or 10 bullet wounds on all of his both of his arms and all of his body.
He was a really cool guy with a huge heart, but a little intimidating, you know? If you think about it, he worked for the mafia in Mazatlan, and so you better watch out. Kinsey?
Hey, were you going to share something there about...
Now?
Yeah, now would be a good time.
So before we left, my uncle came over to our house because we're watching his dog. And he gave Amelia and I $20 each. And he said, give it to someone who really needs it. So so I heard Omar's story and I was thinking about it. And then I like remember that I had this $20 because like it's always hard, you know, because you're like, okay, you either want to give it to the first person you meet or you forget about it. And so I remembered it, and I was like, there's a reason I remembered that I have this $20. So we were about to leave, and we were actually running late. And then I remembered, and I was like, I want to give it to Omar because he has this dream to open up, like, a women's shelter and to do more meals for the kids and just to have, like, 3 ministries. And it's just really awesome what God has done in his life, you know. We kept saying, like, it was just really clear, you know, you are never too far gone. Because he was, like, literally, like, completely rejecting God. He was, like, he was working for the devil is what he said. So he was just amazing. So the bottom picture, it's a good thing you can't see because I'm crying. But I went over and I gave him my money and Javier translated for me. And then he wanted to pray for me. So he prayed for me, and then we took a picture. So, yeah.
You know, I get the privilege of being a part of that, and it was powerful. As she says, this is what God wants. You know, and when these kids come up and say, I've heard God, it's like, okay, let's do it. Just a little reminder, Javier would say that people who work on a regular hand job, they make $15 a week. That's their salary. Regular people like you and me make $15 a week. Gas was about $2 for a liter, 4 liters to a gallon. When I put gas in the vehicles, it would be almost $100. They make $15 a week. So when she walks up and says, I believe God wants me to give you $20, what would that be in our terms? 500? That's why he was like really blessed. We look at $20 like it's kind of pocket change in some level. Man, shame on us. I don't know what that means. Okay, who's next?
Now Kinsey.
Okay. So you can see in this picture on the left, this is when we went to the men's rehab center. We did the two dramas for them. And then we just kind of all gathered around and prayed for them. That's kind of like a reoccurring thing that we did.
And
prayer.
Who shared their testimony, remember?
Clay.
Clay shared his testimony,
and it was super great. He did so great. So after this picture, Javier comes up to us, and he says, Omar says that there's a man down the hall, and he wants us to pray for him. Okay, great, sure. So we go down the hall, and Javier explains to us that this is a man that was abandoned by his family. They literally came, dropped him off, and left, and he hasn't seen him in years. And he was wheelchair-bound when he got there. So we walk in, and he's just asleep on the bed. And I walk in, and I immediately, like, felt my heart rip in two. And it was just probably the most powerful experience of my life. So we all gather around, and we lay hands on him. And Austin started the prayer, I think, and I kind of felt or heard his voice crack a little bit, and that was all it took for me. And I'm just sitting there, like, sobbing uncontrollably over this man. And he's probably like, get away from me, lady. Like, but so then, I mean, we all kind of just took turns praying over him and praying for him. And I started, and I couldn't tell you a word I said. I didn't understand it. No one else probably did either. But I just was so moved by this man and moved by the experience that God put there for us. I mean, Omar could have very easily forgotten that this man was just kind of laying in a bed three doors down that we hadn't seen, you know? I mean, he was out of sight, out of mind, but he didn't. And so I genuinely believe, you know, God wanted us in that room, and he wanted us praying over this man, even though he doesn't speak English and he doesn't have a clue as to what we said, but just praying over him and loving on him and just, I can't even, like, put it into words, but just being able to show that man love and show him God's love and help him realize that, you know, your family might have abandoned you, but I've been looking at you for 2 minutes, and I feel so much love for you, and I can feel God pouring into you through me, and it was just the most powerful and amazing thing I think I've ever felt in my life, and it was just really beautiful to feel God in that room so deeply and so, like, you could feel it in the air. It was so thick and so amazing. And just hearing the kids pray for this guy and just, I don't know, I'm rambling and I'm sorry, but it was just really beautiful, and I was very moved by it.
Let's pray for him now. Go ahead.
Okay,
I'll pray. Lord, we thank you for every man that was at that rehabilitation center. We thank you for Clay's boldness to stand in front of those men and share about what you've done and what you're doing in his life. And we lift Omar before you too, Lord, and thank you for the work that you've done in his life and the vision that you've given him. And Lord, we lift this man. His name was Manuel. We lift him before you, Lord. We thank you that you love him so much. And we pray he'd sense that love, that even though he's been abandoned by people and family and society, that he would know that you'll never turn your back on him. And, Lord, we pray you'd pull him really close to your heart, bring him a sense of peace and joy, and may he know that he's loved by the King of Kings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job, Kim. Austin shared at the men's thing, too.
Yeah, but Austin shared something in his testimony, and it really encouraged the men. So, next. and we have Allie.
Nope, Kenzie.
Oh, that's right.
So then we leave from the children. We got to go back a little bit. We leave from the children. We got the dishes to do.
Right.
So we all go down, and I watch while they do the dishes. And during... Does that surprise you? Yeah. It's a gift I have. So the kids are doing the dishes, and so Javier, being Mr. Loony Man, you know, just starts doing goofy things, and part of it is what we're going to talk about here.
He really likes Sesame Street and just
music like that. So we're going to play a video for you. Copyright Javier.
Bobby. 1, 2, 3. La, 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 la,
Kenzie saw.
Kenzie saw.
La, 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 la.
Kenzie saw.
La, la, la. La, 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 la. La, la, la. La, 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 la. This is the song. La, 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 la.
Kenzie saw.
La 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 la, la 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 la. She wrote the music, she wrote the words that
Kenzie
song. Here we go. Woo! We're gonna, and you know what? The cool thing, we can change the name.
Bye. Okay, that's 10 days.
He also liked to sing Rubber Ducky, but he has his own version that yeah. we won't repeat here.
It's only mildly.
So now, Allie. Yeah, just bring the whole box.
Hi. So I guess on Sunday, that makes sense. We went to the church at the dump, and it was just really cool. We got to play with the kids and everything there.
Okay, time out, time out. The dump. The dump, yeah. There's an upper area where the trucks drive up. When the trucks unload, people stand at the and then they sort through the garbage, looking for cardboard, looking for glass, looking for plastic. If they get 3 pesos a day, they're fortunate. The stench is so strong. I mean, you get the gag reflex. Some throw up. They just rooting through. So underneath where the trucks are is a little area where the people live, where they take some of the cardboard boxes, some of the pallets, and they use it as a wall, and then they take whatever they can find and use it as a roof, and the whole building is about the size of this, and they got a family of 7 in there. Some of us have been there. So this church was built by the Vineyard about 2 or 3 years ago to serve the people of the dump. And so we went to the church there on Sunday night. Go ahead, Allie.
Yeah, so we get there, and all it is like this church is just like this big empty building. You know, they have some tables and some chairs and a kind of bad sound system. And, you know, so we show up there, and we're expecting to, you know, serve them, and we're hoping to, you know, just bless them, give them some toys, whatever, for the children, maybe some clothes. And so we did that for a while, you know, after a service and stuff. We just played with the children. And then they set up some tables and put some chairs around it. And then they say, we have a surprise for you. Come sit down around the table. So we sit down, and the pastor comes out, and he serves each of us a little plate of food. There was, like, some kind of stew or something that had, like, chicken and a bunch of vegetables in it, which they don't have a lot of meat. They have nothing, and they rarely ever get meat. So this was, like, a huge meal that they were putting in front of us, and they gave us, like, cookies and all kinds of great stuff. It was just so humbling to see that, like, they have absolutely nothing, and here they were giving us so much. And it just really convicted me, you know, like, I say that I don't, or I think that I don't have enough to give, but that's because even if I gave everything away, I would still have so much here. But I'm unwilling to give, you know, out of all of my comforts. And they even gave Javier a little envelope full of money. So here we were trying to give them things, and he's offering money to Javier's church. So it was just really, really humbling. So
good, Allie. Good.
Was there another slide for this? There is. So we made balloon animals and stuff, and Anya was helping me and didn't twist them tight enough, so that's what happened.
Okay.
And Manny shared his testimony, which was awesome. And then I shared my testimony and cried too much. But now we're next. So Manny, come up here.
So, like, all the kids at the dump church were, like, so outgoing. And all the kids all over the Mazlan, when we went to the soccer ministry, when we went wherever, they were all so happy to see us. And so we played soccer with them there because there was, like, an outside and they had two goals. And we kept on giving candy out of big old pocket full of candy. And I kept on giving. And then I still had some left. I wanted to give them. They said, no, pass it to someone else because they already had some. And so it was really humbling. And they were, like, so happy. Like, that little boy right there, he's so happy just to have that little pink balloon and purple balloon or blue balloon. I can't talk. And so, like, it was really humbling to see they have so little and we have so, so much. And they're still happier than I could ever be.
That's good, Manny. Good job.
So, the next slide.
I mean, that kid's living in the dump. So, Manny talks about happiness. They're literally living in the dump.
So, on Monday, we got to go surfing with a bunch of girls from this orphanage, Florecer. And so Javier taught us, and then another guy, Grant, taught us how to surf. And it was so much fun just to see their joy and watch them dunk Anya. And and they were awesome surfers. Javier's a great surf teacher, and Grant was good too. But it was just great to hang out with them and just have a lot of fun. So that was that. Next slide. Next. And so then later that day, we went to this special needs orphanage called Rancho. We were expecting to go and just hang out with the kids and just bless them, like do balloon animals, give them candy. We brought paint, nail polish, and it was just going to be a fun hangout time, like really laid back. And we got there and they said, "Are you ready to work?" And we were like, "No." And the guy turned to Javier and was like, "Well, you have 3 minutes to pump your group up and make them ready to work." And we were like,
"Well, here's why. They got flip-flops on."
Flip-flops.
They don't have any. We're not ready to work. So not ready. It wasn't that we weren't ready to work.
We weren't ready
to work. And he wanted us to climb 3 floors carrying up big concrete blocks. And I was like,
"They were building.
No. I'm not going to have a 14-year-old boy." You know, so that was part of the challenge.
They were building, it was really cool what they were doing. They were building more houses so that they could kind of have, like, this family situation where, like, there could be, like, parents and then, like, take care of the special needs kids. So, like, in a household, it was, like, really cool. But they were building it. And so the work site was awful. Like, I was wearing my Toms, which are not, like, super sturdy shoes, and there were nails. Okay. There were nails everywhere. Rusty nails. There was rusty wire everywhere. There were nails sticking out of boards. Like, it was really unsafe. And Toby was a little, like, it was unsafe. And so he was worried for us because he's responsible for all of us.
Clay cut off his leg and I had to sew it back on.
Yeah.
It was not a big deal. I mean, it's the Trinity.
So we kind of get ready, and they give us gloves, and I'm really feeling anxious about this. Like, Toby's anxious, and I just, like, kind of, like, if someone's feeling like that, then I will feel it too. And so I just, like, felt awful. I was like, "Lord, help me out. I feel terrible about this," and I was so worried for the safety of the whole team because, like, there were nails everywhere, and someone could easily trip and fall and just then they die. So I was really praying, and we went with this one girl who was actually a nurse, and I think she's from U of I here in town. So that was really neat to meet other people from Indiana. But we had to get nails out of boards. That is so hard to do. We did so well. World record.
3 in 7 hours.
But I really... I really had to trust the Lord. I really prayed. I was praying so hard for the whole safety of our team and for Toby, like, the, God would just calm his heart. And the Lord protected us, mostly. Clay scraped his leg. Amelia scraped her leg, foot. Anya scraped her foot. We're really not safe people. But the Lord protected us.
I waited in the truck.
This girl inside, I don't know her name, Sochi, she loved to paint nails. So it was really neat because some of the girls got to go inside and they painted their nails. And it was just a lot of fun while we were outside slaving away. So next slide. Stone Island.
Mazatlan has some islands about 200 yards off the main area, and one of them is called Stone Island. There's another Vineyard church that's out there, and the pastor kept asking, will you please come out? Will you please come out? Will you please come out? So on Tuesday night, we took a boat across, like a ferry, not Tinkerbell, Daniel, a real boat ferry, and we went across, and we did, we played with the children, and then we did we do In Between?
We did
a melodrama, which is I make it up and they have to do what I tell them to do, which is always pretty scary. So this is just Stone Island, kids playing and having fun. And then there's some of us praying for a looks like a boy. And then there was some people there. It was probably 30 or 40 people there. It was fun. It was a good afternoon.
Yeah, we got to pray for them and we got to take a boat. Next. Nathan.
Come on,
Anya.
Nathan.
Bring the whole box.
There's one right beside you.
Oh, okay.
So, first of all, I just want to praise the Lord and just thank him that we got the opportunity to go and be his hands and feet. And it was really cool to see just everybody grow in their faith. I'm, like, overwhelmed by how God uses us. So, Wednesday, I got a chance to share my testimony and go see the girls' orphanage. I don't know if you guys know, but I spent 4 years in an orphanage. And I don't really share, like, about my past often. So, like, the night before Wednesday, like, going to bed, I couldn't go to sleep. And I think, like, the devil was just trying to take away, like, you know, my joy and all of the, like, bad memories and the hurt just came, like, coming upon me. And it was just really weird how the devil was like, no, like, you're not doing this. But so the morning of, I was still really nervous and I was praying to God really hard and, like, just going there, and, like, before I even shared, as soon as I, like, walked in, like, the girls were just, like, loving on me and comforting me, and that was just God's way of saying, don't you worry, like, I got you, and so, yeah, they were, like, drawn to me, and I was drawn to them, and in that moment, I just thought, wow, the Lord has just been preparing me for this moment, and it was just so beautiful to be able to think I'm like their hope, and I never seen myself as that ever. So just sitting there and telling them about how much God loves them, I imagine they're so confused and broken as I was. So it was just a privilege, and they just they amazed me how sweet they were, and I was just sharing my testimony, and she just came up and held my hand and just
can you hear that? Anya was in the middle of her testimony. That girl comes up behind Anya and just starts rubbing her back.
As
Anya's talking, just being sensitive because she could tell the emotion that Anya was sharing. And so as Anya allows her, then the girl feels the freedom to come in even closer. Anya didn't miss a step. She didn't look over like, what are you doing, any of that. She just received the girl. It was really precious to watch. And so then that girl just moves right in. And I'm not sure exactly what that girl was drawn to other than God was speaking through Anya, and that girl was wanting to show her love to Anya. It was really, really precious.
So, yeah, I'm just thankful I got to share my testimony.
Yeah, you did great.
Seeing the girls and how happy they were, even though they were in the orphanage. That's awesome that God's just with them.
She did a really great job. It was awesome, and we could tell the girls were encouraged.
What was fun, too, is we get there, and, you know, we think, like whoever Allie talked about, the dump and how they gave to us. So we do one of our dramas. The girls get all excited and say, we have a dance. Can we do our dance for you? So they did a dance. They ended up having three or four dances that they wanted to do for us. And it was like, okay, you know, so it was really precious that they felt like the freedom of, we want to show you what we've been practicing. Oh, it was really fun that way.
So the bottom right is them watching us do our dramas. And then the top right, they had a carpet ball thing. I don't know if you know it, but it's basically a game where you throw pool balls, you roll pool balls at the other end. So there was this one girl, Olga, who was like the master. And no one could beat her except for Austin 50% of the time. Anya beat her one time. Manny beat her one time.
Okay.
Next.
Oh, we got to do a little background. Good, Kenzie.
So not a lot of people know about this, but oh, what am I touching? But Toby kind of set this up for.
Okay, let me back up. Y'all know Austin. Y'all know Austin and Anya got married. When did you get married? May 20. They didn't go on a honeymoon. They wanted to go with us. So as soon as they said, "We don't want to go and spend time together. We'd rather be with you," it started the wheels turning in my mind about how can we bless them when we're in Mazatlan. So I talked to Tommy and Akaika, and so they really did a lot of the groundwork of the surprise that's coming.
Yeah. So Toby comes up to me in like an airport or breakfast or something, I don't remember, but he talks to me about how he's gotten Anya and Austin a room at a resort that's like right down the street from the YWAM base. And so on Wednesday, we after the orphanage, we go to lunch, and then Toby and Javier really slyly, no, I'm kidding, it was sly, they told Austin and Anya, like, oh, let's go get coffee. And Anya being, you know, the huge-hearted, wonderful woman she is, she's like, are you coming? Are you coming? Like, come with us. Like, you should come. Like, we want you to come. And we're all like, no, like, I want a nap. And things like that. Which I didn't get to do that, but that's okay. So they leave, and within 5 minutes, we are packing every single thing that they brought. So the girls did Anya's bag, and the boys did Austin's bag. You can ask Austin how that went. I am. They packed.
Okay. He gets a sweatshirt. He gets a toothbrush. He gets someone else's phone charger, and. That's it. That was his bag. The boys packed his bag. A sweatshirt. It's 90 degrees in the shade.
So the boys' room was directly below ours, and we had a balcony. So every 5 minutes, we hear Kenzie or Anya or someone, like, asking for something constantly. So they walk out the door, and 3 minutes later, I hear Clay, Kenzie, what do we pack? And I said, everything but dirty clothes. Do not pack dirty clothes and everything else. Put it in the bag. Doesn't matter. So he gets a pillow, sweatshirt, you know, like things the hotel has. But they did great. They were so good. The boys were super sly about it. It was awesome. The girls did great. We packed everything Anya needed, but that's beside the point.
We knew that.
Yeah. So the plan was that they were going to take them to coffee, and then we were going to go to the hotel. And so then when they would come up with some plan to get Austin and Anya in the hotel, and we'd jump up and say, surprise, and whatever. So we get to the hotel, and then we're waiting, and then we see Austin and Anya kind of start walking up. And I guess you can go up to the top or, like, look. There's, like, a restaurant or something up there, and you can look out. And so Javier was like, oh, let's go upstairs and look and, like, look at the view. And they were like, oh, okay, like, sure. And so they walk in, and we go, surprise. And I'm not kidding you. The first words out of Anya's mouth were, you guys are so creepy. Like, she thought we had followed them, and, like, we're just like. No, but, yeah, and then we'll show the video.
You guys are surprised. We got to your room here. Tonight, we're together. Oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Save your money. What are you doing?
Save your money. So we didn't. We laughed.
Thank you. once every day.
One night, so I don't get too excited.
Yes. See, I'm crying, and you're like, oh, God,
we nailed it.
Yeah, the whole time we were waiting in the hotel, we were like, oh, Austin's going to say this, and Anya's going to do this, and Austin's going to cry, and Anya's going to say this, and we predicted 100% of the things that they said. So.
You're so creepy. So
Wednesday night, then, we went to Javier's house. He has church in his house, so we went there on Wednesday night, and Allie shared powerfully her testimony, and Eli shared his testimony just as powerfully.
And Javier's son, Emmanuel, translated for us. He did a great job.
I developed a cough. And so when I would share, sometimes, you know, you'd have to so Emmanuel, who's about 18, I would share, and he would interpret. So one time I shared, and I so he interprets, and
it was so funny. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's real mellow, which is.
First off, I just want to thank you guys for supporting me on my trip. I'm really thankful. But on Thursday, we took food to the dump with the Vineyard Church, and we pretty much rode on a bus there. We had sandwiches and water bottles.
Oranges?
Oh, and oranges, yeah. So we go to pass it out, and we step out, and the smell's pretty bad. But it's just amazing because they're so thankful for the food, so happy, and you can see them. They're laughing with each other while they're digging through the trash, and it makes you wonder, is, like, more really better? Because we always want more. Or I never want to give up my comfort, so it's like, I'll complain when there's no hot water left in the shower or something. It's like, they don't even have showers. So it was just a really humbling experience to go out there and see how they live. And then the other thing I'm going to share is my baptism. On Friday, we went to the beach, and all pretty much for two, three years now, I've been kind of worrying because it was like everyone I know has been baptized. Did I miss it? Stuff like that. And we prayed. Toby asked, does anyone want to get baptized? And he had us pray about it first. And I just really felt God speak to me, and I got baptized for the first time. So. But, yeah, just thank you guys so much for everything.
Yes.
We had a tour, kind of a tour guide, while we were riding the bus. We went to several Vineyard locations handing out food, and the dump was just one of them. And on the way there, our tour guide was telling us about how they had to have, at some point, they had to have, like, security and guards around the dump area where we were. And the Vineyard people asked, like, why are these people here? And they were told that people were, like, killing and stabbing each other to get to trash. And then soon after the Vineyard people had been coming and giving food, the guards weren't there anymore, and they asked where the guards went. And somebody told them that the Vineyard people showing to the people at the dump that they were valued enough and that they were cared for gave them self-value, and they stopped hurting other people and to get more because they realized their value and started valuing other people the same. So it was just really neat to hear that backstory.
So one thing I noticed was there.
Thank you.
There weren't supposed to be any kids up there. But I did see one kid up there. And as I was watching all these people put their just reach their hands right into this this fresh pile of trash, and, you know, just knowing what all is in there, knowing that there's glass and needles and everything you can imagine is in that pile. And, you know, it's just, it's horrible to watch that and imagine that, you know, that is, or to remember that that is their, that's their life every single day from sun up to sundown. And there's like really no way that they're ever going to get out of that. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, then imagining they're bringing their kid there and telling them to do the same thing that, you know, they're so desperate that they have their kids reaching into the same pile into knowing that there's glass there. Yeah, it was just really hard to see, like, yeah, just how desperate they were that they would even bring their child up there.
That's good, Allie. That's good.
Generations of families were stuck in the dump because that was just their life. One thing Toby mentioned that another person said on a different mission trip, that we get to leave. We got to leave the stinky smell. We're here. But they're stuck there.
Well, part of it is you tie it into how many people are trapped. I'm not trapped there, but how am I trapped? Am I trapped in my anger? Am I trapped in my greed? You know, they're trapped. Some of us can be trapped. And I told the story about the guy, Dave Sterrett always helps me remember, and I always forget. The guy in the Bible, he, jail cell kind of thing, no door. He goes in. But they give him all the food he wants to eat. He becomes so fat that he can't get out the door. He could leave the door if he just stopped eating. He could leave the jail cell if he just stopped eating. He won't. And he remains in that jail cell. And, you know, you think about how many people Christ is offering liberty to them, to me, freedom, and yet we remain in our jail cell. So that's why talking this always leads me to sharing with the youth in particular about, you know, just, it applies to us, you know, and the liberty that Jesus offers us today is pretty spectacular. So if you're trapped this morning, you know, come to Christ and let him take that from you, and then you can step out into all that God has for you. Okay, Leon, there's the preaching for the day.
So now, next. I think on Thursday or on Friday or something, we got to go and participate in the YWAM soccer ministry. They basically go and, like, just have a soccer practice, kind of, and we do warm-ups, and then this awesome dude from Brazil shares a little devotional, and
we gotta go.
Okay, we play soccer. And so then also, we got to do Bible distribution, so Amelia.
We don't have pictures of this, so we're just going to stay on this slide. We split up into a few groups of our team with YWAM people. There were like three or four groups of like three or four each, and the ministry was called Biblias para Mexico. And their goal, their mission, was to put a Bible in every home in Mexico. And so splitting up, we went from door to door and knocked or rang the doorbell and provided them with the Word of God. And I was with a girl who, the way that she interpreted the mission was really neat. We weren't just dropping the Bible off. She spoke with the people and encouraged them. There was one person who took the Bible, and then we stood there for about 2 or 3 minutes, and she started circling places that she recommended to start reading in the Bible. Some people shared prayer requests with us, and we had a sheet with us where if they wanted to be visited by a church in the future to talk about the Bible or things like that, then we would write their name and their address and their phone number down. But there were some people who wanted to share prayer requests for us. And so the girl I was with and Manny, her name was Yola, and she was fluent in Spanish. So she would speak with them, and then every once in a while she would turn to us and she would explain what was going on. And then Manny had the opportunity to pray for her family, and then I prayed.
One of the times I prayed, the lady at the door, she had a sister named Angelica, and she had cancer, and I got to pray for her. And it was really special because it's not the first time I've prayed for an Angelica with cancer. So just being able to minister to people and go door to door, and the people that we talked to were so open to what we had to say and to take the Bible. There was only in my group, there were only like two houses that we went by that said, we already have the Bible, and then one lady didn't want it at all, but we were able to go back and give her housekeeper one. So it was just neat to provide, just to be able to share literally God's word with people in Mexico school.
Amelia and Eliana's mom's name's Angel, and she had cancer, so that's what she alluded to there.
Next.
Autumn Farmer, everybody. Woohoo! The reluctant speaker.
So really, I don't have a slide either, but I just wanted to talk about the team that went down there, that they grew together, and they grew stronger in God and with each other, and they, no matter what the circumstances were, they just pushed through with it, and, you know, even though the day before was tough, they got up, and they did it again, and they just kept pushing through, and it was really awesome to watch them grow stronger in God, and you know, the testimonies and all the nerves that came before that, and it was just really awesome.
Good, yeah. Autumn. Thank you.
It was awesome to have Autumn there to tell us not to drink the water and to remind us. Toilet paper. Oh my gosh.
Well, she was.
You're
she
not
was
allowed
kind
to put the toilet paper in the toilet.
Too, so she really helped
that
me
was
with
rough.
a lot of administrative things.
Next, let's see. Okay, we're gonna wait on that. Amelia, come back up.
One thing that that Toby encouraged before we left on the trip was to start praying for the trip. He's told us about groups that have gone in the past, and he said that one group in particular had just prayed before the trip and during the trip, and he said that was just like the best trip. So during our youth group time a little bit before we left, we were able to begin praying for the mission trip and for what God would do and just for the people of Mexico that we would meet and talk to. And so basically before almost everywhere that we went, we would get together like 15 minutes before time and just pray for those people. And every night we would do what Toby calls debrief. We talk about the day. And we really spent some time worshiping and in prayer, and it was so powerful. There was this place in the base that they called it the secret place. We called it Mount Sinai. There were these steps that went up to this almost like secret garden area with these high walls around it, and it was just so peaceful. One of the nights we were doing debrief, it was the first time we started like incorporating worship and music in it. It was just so powerful. And everyone was, it was just, God was there, and we felt it, and as the night came on, and just our hearts were so open to him, as we went to each place, you've seen pictures, the prayer that, we just prayed so much on this trip, and going from place to place, we were asked to pray, we volunteered to pray. Javier said, we talked on Wednesday, like Toby said, in his like home church, and Javier said, like every Toby team has like a focus, a purpose, a theme, and he said that he thought ours was prayer, and it was just really amazing to pray with the people of Mazatlan and for the people of Mazatlan, and it just was really powerful for our team.
Good, Amelia. Thank you.
Austin.
Whew, God loves us so much, you guys. He loves us so much. I've been following Christ for 3 years now. Before I was following Christ, I got to go to 2 Mexico trips. And both times when I came back, I fell flat on my face. My most recent one before this one was 6 years ago. But when I was on that trip, I wasn't even following Christ. And he gave me this verse. And it's Jeremiah 33:3. And it reads, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things." Going on this trip with my wife who loves Jesus is a great and unsearchable thing. I couldn't have dreamed of that when I wasn't saved. I have a buddy here. I don't know if he's out there with his kids, but he knows I could have never dreamed of doing things like this for Christ. And it was such a blessing to be able to go to Mexico with your kids, because I saw Christ move in every single one of your kids in a very powerful way. Very powerful way. And I got to baptize Clay and my wife. I never thought that I'd be able to baptize somebody. I never thought that was in the plans for my life. And God just has blessed us so much. And, you know, we have so much here. We have so many material things and fidget spinners and phones and all this silly stuff. And it's like, you know, we go down there and these people have nothing. But something that stands out to me is that they have spiritual wealth. And it really convicted me, like, if I weighed my spiritual wealth with how much I truly have comparing to people that have none, God would tell me that I need to seek out more spiritual richness. And I need to strive as hard as I do. I love my job. You guys know I love my job. But am I putting that much effort into my spiritual richness and my spiritual wealth? So I don't really know what else to say. I know Jesus loves us so much. And the way God uses us here, He wants to use every one of us in that way, in our homes. Our homes and our work is our mission field. Not all of us. That's one thing God was speaking to me about. I'm not a missionary to go to other places. I don't think that's in my plans. It might not be. But what God is telling me is that at home, you need to be having the courage that you do when you're in Mexico and you think no one's ever going to talk to you again. You have a lot more courage. But God was just telling me to have courage at home and in your workplace and the places that you are every day. God wants to use you in the same way as he's using the missionaries over in Mexico or in Africa or wherever the missionaries are. He wants to use us in the same way. So that's all.
Most of the team was baptized. You know, I kind of sprung it on them. I'd forgotten to bring it up earlier, and so we gave them some time just to seek it out. Amelia's heart, like most of the kids, was really precious because she asked the question, is it biblical that I'm baptized more than once? Toby, show me in the Bible where that's... And then later she says, I wanted to call my mom and my dad and ask them. You know, and so we got to talking about who do you have in your life that you can trust about these things, that you can turn to them and say, what's the Bible say? You know, so it was really a neat wrestling that the kids went through as we prayed about. And I know Clay, as soon as he got baptized, he says, but my mom and dad weren't here. It's the first thing he thought of is you two, you know. So we really tried to encourage Clay how supportive they would be, because he was just simply being obedient to God. He knew. He heard. God wants this of me. But he wanted you two there so much. I mean, it was really strong. So the funny thing is, so we're baptizing. As you can see, the ocean, the waves come. You better hold on tight because you're going. You know. And so we're trying to pray, and we're getting wobbled back and forth. So we walk our way through. I don't know how many. Finally, Amelia comes later. And so... You know, we just kind of share in the baptisms, because the Bible doesn't say that the pastor has to do all the baptisms. So one of them, Amelia's getting ready to be baptized, and they say, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son. And as they dump her down, all the water goes away, and they dump her down and come back up, and she didn't get wet. They're like, oh, whoa, 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 we got to do that again. So she got baptized twice. Uh-oh.
I was really, really wrestling about it because I didn't know what, like, our family stance was on rebaptisms. And then when I asked Toby if it was biblical, and he said there's nothing super clear in the Bible about, like, getting baptized again. Before I went on this trip, sorry, this is going to go long.
That's okay, Amelia.
My day-to-day relationship with Jesus isn't really where it should be for a girl who wants to be a missionary when she grows up, or for any Christian. And so, on the trip, Jesus really challenged me to renew my relationship with him. And I asked the girls early in the week to pray for me, that when I get home, I would just renew my relationship with Jesus every day. And so I was really struggling when Toby brought up rebaptisms, and because I didn't know what I believed about it. And but he used the same word that I had used. He said, this is just to renew your relationship and renew, like,
your commitment
to Jesus. And so I was kind of leaning towards it, and as everybody else was getting baptized, and my sister got baptized, I still wasn't sure. I was just wrestling inside, and then, now I forget what I was going to say. And then I decided, I was like, you know what? I think this is what I need to do. And so they put me down the first time, and I tell you, that water covered me all over. And then they were like, no, we have to do it again. And so we go down the second time, and I'm thinking in my head, this has to be the will of God. If I'm going down twice. So. Yeah.
I had the blessing of baptizing her, so I got to do it twice. Yeah. I'm a pro now. We have one more picture. And that's Javier. I'm a big deal. He was just awesome and such a blessing. He gave so much of himself and sacrificed time with his family and with his church and everything for us. So we're so thankful. I think we have one more drama.
Let me go get it on. Let's do this and then we'll. What? If you're visiting today, welcome. This is not normal. So normally we go through the Bible, line by line, verse by verse. Remember where we are? I don't either. It's in Luke. It's Luke. Well, I don't even know. 14, maybe? Is it 14? Next week, read ahead. 25 to 30. I lied. 25 to 35, I know where we are. So read ahead. Read it 43 times, okay? And then next week, Lord willing, we'll jump right back into our going through the Gospel of Luke. So here's Redeemer. We have done Redeemer all over the world. Ukraine, Poland, Israel, I mean, all over with not this team, they're too young, but, you know, the teams that I've been a part of. So this is our favorite drama because it really represents the cross. Well, let's go ahead, team. Is anybody going to introduce kind of, you know, let's chop though, okay, please?
I'm so hungry. All right, so this. All right, so this skit is called Redeemer, like Toby said, and Clay is God, Allie's money, Amelia's lust, and then Eli's party, and I'm man. It's, yeah.